Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, everybody. Happy Monday, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. Today, Chelsea Clinton, Bill Gates, and the World Health Organization launch the big catch-up to inject all children with the COVID mRNA vaccine. Chelsea Clinton, through her family's health nonprofit, is working alongside the likes of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the World Health Organization, and UNICEF in what she hopes will become the largest childhood immunization effort ever. That's why the Clinton Health Access Initiative and like-minded organizations will be working with the WHO to bridge the gap in an effort called the Big Catch-Up, Clinton said Tuesday at Fortune's Brainstorm Health Conference in Marina Del Rey, California. Well, silly human, you thought the forced injections were all over and done with, didn't you? No, no, no. Now they're coming for your children. 2 Kings 4, verse 40. So they poured out for the men to eat, and it came to pass, as they were eating of the pottage, that they cried out and said, O thou man of God, there is death in the pot, and they could not eat thereof. On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, millions of people across America and around the world have rightly and accurately rejected the COVID mRNA gene editing injection, and that's good news. But compare that to the billions of people globally who took multiple rounds of it. The dramatic and sudden rise in heart issues, strokes, blood clots, and all those people who just died suddenly speak for the results. Who do we see at the forefront of the big catch-up? Oh, nobody important. Just the usual cast of characters who all hung out with Jeffrey Epstein on his pedophile island. These are the same people that now want to protect the children. Is it just me? Or is there something really wrong with this picture? Massively wrong with this picture. Here on day 1,148 of 15 days to flatten the curve, the war still rages as the New World Order comes at it from a different angle. Will they succeed? On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, we give you a full breakdown of the big catch-up and all the rest of the end-time shenanigans that are currently underway. And we are very, very glad that you are here with us this morning.
Coming up next, it's Just a Vaccine.
Yes, I'm just a vaccine, and I want to knock out COVID-19. But first, the experts test me to make sure that I'm ready. It's a long, long process, but the progress is steady. And I hope that looking back someday, they will say I'll be COVID-19. But for now, I am just a vaccine.
Wow, you've sure been sitting out here a long time.
Well, there's a lot of testing that goes into approving a vaccine. They have to prove I work, and most importantly, they have to prove I'm safe. Unless they can be absolutely sure of that, I'll never see the light of day.
What's that?
This means I'm scientifically proven to be safe and effective. Now, I just wait until I can be delivered to all the communities that need me.
Vaccine. Yes, I'm just a vaccine, and there's proof I can be COVID-19. Well, now I've got my approval, so I'm off on my way to make your communities all healthy and safe. Oh, I wish I could be sent today, 'cause they'd say I'd be COVID-19. But for now, I'm just a vaccine.
So, how do vaccines work anyway?
I guess you could say we give your body a cheat sheet for fighting off viruses it hasn't seen before. You see, the first time you're exposed to a new virus, like COVID-19, it can take a long time for your body to figure out how to fight it. Sadly, some bodies don't figure it out before the virus does serious damage, or worse. I help prevent that by introducing you to fragments of a protein so that your body can recognize the virus and learn to protect itself before it has to face the real deal.
I'm a vaccine, yes, I'm just a vaccine, and now I'm chilling in a hospital wing. It's been a long, hard journey, but the end is in sight. As long as the public lets me help them in time, if they do, then we'll be near the day that they say I'd be COVID-19. But for now, I'm just a vaccine.
Wait, you mean even after all that, if people don't get vaccinated, this still won't be over?
That's right. As hard as it is to make a vaccine, it won't accomplish anything unless enough people get it. When enough people are protected from a virus, it becomes much harder to spread and isn't as much of a threat to the way we live. You should also know that there are some people who can't get vaccinated, so they're counting on the rest of us to help keep them safe.
It's sure not easy to beat a pandemic, is it?
Nope. It takes all of us, not just scientists and medical professionals. In fact, the most important job belongs to the general public. That's getting vaccinated.
I'm here to get vaccinated.
Oh, yes!
Those of you who are of a certain age, you remember that as the Schoolhouse Rock song. And we used to watch that on, well, in New Jersey on PBS Channel 13. And back in 2021, they rewrote that to make it just the vaccine song. If you're just tuning in, what are we talking about today? We're talking about Chelsea Clinton, Bill Gates. We are talking about the World Health Organization. They are not going to rest until every living human being is injected with not a vaccine, but mRNA gene editing therapy. Take a listen to Bear Foreman of he is the president of Bear Pharmaceuticals, a man by the name of Stefan Ulrich. Take a listen to what he says about the mRNA vaccines.
Ultimately,
and decide
the mRNA vaccines are an example for that cell and gene therapy. I always like to say, if we had surveyed 2 years ago in the public, would you be willing to take gene or cell therapy and inject it into your body, we would have probably had a 95% refusal rate. I think this pandemic has also opened many people's eyes to innovation in the way that was maybe not possible before. Those that take the leap to drive innovation in a really meaningful way and invest and take the risk to invest in R&D will also attain sustainability by creating job security and creating prosperity for those that take the investment. I think this is really important also for these latitudes here.
So am I saying that there is a plan underway that is going to work to vaccinate every child on the face of the earth with, among other things, the COVID-19 mRNA gene editing injection? Yes, that's exactly what I'm telling you. This is a multi-billion dollar effort. And I'm reading this right now from the GatesFoundation.org website. Global partners announce a new effort, the Big Catch-Up. Not talking about that red liquid that you put on your French fries. I'm talking about catching up every child in the world with a COVID-19 vaccine. And what they want to do is they want to vaccinate millions and millions of children to, quote, restore the immunization, that's a funny word, to restore immunization progress lost during the pandemic. The Big Catch-Up is an extended effort to lift vaccination levels among children to at least pre-pandemic levels and aims to ensure stronger primary health care services for essential immunization in the future. And this is the World Health Organization. This is UNICEF. This is Bill Gates' organization called Gavi. That is the global board to vaccinate every child. We've told you many, many times that Anthony Fauci, as far back as 2010, was given a leadership position in Bill Gates' Gavi campaign to vaccinate every child on the face of the earth. The Vaccine Alliance and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, along with Immunization Agenda 2030. I think this is the first time I'm hearing about this. This is the first time that I'm hearing about this. The Immunization Agenda 2030. We're going to have to do a little bit of digging into this. But the point of what I'm telling you is that there is a massive campaign to now, what do they want to do? They want to vaccinate the kids for measles, diphtheria, polio, yellow fever. Honestly, I don't have a problem with any of those vaccines. Why? Because they're real vaccines. Now, you may or may not choose to have your child vaccinated for measles, diphtheria, polio, or yellow fever. I did not have my children vaccinated. I didn't have them vaccinated for measles. I didn't have them vaccinated for diphtheria or polio. They didn't get any vaccinations of any kind. And my daughter's, she's going to be 28, Calvin's going to be 23, and Megan is going to be 22. And they are some of the healthiest people that you'll ever see in your life. And we made the decision a long time ago to not vaccinate the children. And I believe that that's a personal decision that everybody has to make for themselves. But we do not put the COVID-19, quote-unquote, vaccine in the same category as measles, diphtheria, polio, yellow fever, and all the rest of those things. Now, take a listen to what Bill Gates said a couple of weeks ago. This is what Bill Gates said a couple of weeks ago about COVID, a rather illuminating clip from the man who made you believe that COVID-19 was the end of the world. Take a listen to Bill Gates saying, hey, COVID's not that bad after all.
Wasn't it like early February when I was in a meeting that experts at the foundation said, there's no way, you know, there's been too much travel without diagnosis for us to contain this. And then at that point, we didn't really understand the fatality rate. You know, we didn't understand that it's a fairly low fatality rate and that it's a disease mainly of the elderly, kind of like flu is, although a bit different than that. So that was a pretty scary period,
right,
where the world didn't go on alert, including the United States, nearly as fast as it needed to.
So that's Bill Gates telling you that, COVID's not so bad. It just mostly affects the elderly, kind of like the flu, he says. That was the same man who promised that he was going to fund 7 different pharmaceutical companies to produce the COVID-19 vaccine. And he kept his word, and he made a $200 billion profit from all of his efforts. He is very, very happy with his investment in the COVID-19 vaccine. This is Bill Gates telling you what a perfect vaccine would look like.
The world responded to the COVID pandemic faster than to any disease in history. New, safe, and effective vaccines got created in less than 300 days after the start of the pandemic, and over half the world's population has already received 2 doses of these vaccines. But in several respects, these vaccines are not perfect. What would a better vaccine look like? Even though these vaccines do an incredible job of preventing severe disease and death, they do not protect you from getting infected. They reduce the chance of getting infected by about 50%. We want to change it so that anybody who's gotten that vaccine cannot be infected again, taking them completely out of any transmission chain. We should be able to have a vaccine that attacks a core part of the virus that's found in all the variants. We would also like to have vaccines that you can just take once and you don't have to go back and keep getting boosters again and again. They should be made so that they can be transported at normal temperatures without refrigeration. All these COVID vaccines require the use of a syringe, and we'd like to get rid of that. We could just have something like a patch or something you inhale so that you can take it more easily. Finally, manufacturing can be scaled up even faster. Although pharmaceutical companies broke every record here in now making billions of these vaccines, what would be ideal is being able to make enough for the entire world in less than 6 months. Although developing so many effective COVID vaccines quickly was a miracle, there's no question that we have to do better next time.
So that's Bill Gates telling you that we need to develop some sort of a patch-based vaccine. And he is working on a patch-based vaccine. And it's going to use an enzyme called luciferase. And that's what's going to make Bill Gates' patch vaccine, his micro-needle vaccination patch. And these are some of the things that they are working on right now. So, what does Chelsea Clinton have to do with anything? And why is she even getting in front of a microphone and talking about vaccines and vaccinations? Well, the world has gotten so traumatized by listening to Hillary Clinton's voice and seeing her face, and that she can no longer be a successful representative for the family brand. And their family brand is something called the Clinton Health Access Initiative. And you talk about a scam. You talk about a money laundering organization. That's what the Clinton family has been doing for quite some time. Remember when Hillary Clinton became the Secretary of State under Barack Obama, and she had a step down and all this scandal that was related to their foundation that they started, their multi-million dollar foundation that they're going to change the world, and all it did was make them fabulously wealthy. Well, nobody wants to hear from Hillary, and Bill is just keeping his mouth shut, because the more that people talk about Jeffrey Epstein, the more silent that Bill Clinton is going to remain. He doesn't want to step into the public spotlight. He doesn't want to be quoted saying anything. He just wants you to forget about him, because he does not want to be connected with Jeffrey Epstein. But their daughter, Chelsea Clinton, well, she has been anointed to represent the family brand such as it is. You know, when I look at all these people, like the Clintons and Bill Gates and George Soros and all these people, doesn't it remind you of the robber barons from the 19th century? Doesn't it remind you of the Gettys and the Morgans and the Vanderbilts and the Rockefellers and all those people that just so amazingly enriched themselves and took over everything? And we have that happening here today. So take a listen to Chelsea Clinton announcing the big vaccine catch-up.
I do think, though, you know, when you ask about the role of public-private partnerships kind of after the last few years, I think we spend so much time, understandably, focused on the mRNA vaccines and technologies. I spend a lot of time thinking about the really unfortunate, to try to use a not too judgmental word, kind of rise in not only kind of vaccine hesitancy and questioning, but outright kind of rejection of vaccines and of kind of science and the scientific kind of process, and also too often on our scientists, our epidemiologists, our frontline healthcare workers. And so I do think we need to have a much more robust conversation and sense of urgency, because I think we are less prepared today than we were arguably in January of 2020, partly because of the kind of lack of trust and confidence in not only our scientists, but in science itself, and certainly in the public health professionals. And so I think we need kind of the public sector to hopefully stop doing things like stripping away public health emergency powers from state public health agencies. But we also need the private sector to help, candidly, like, do a better job of helping explain kind of the science that you are already commercializing and bringing to market, but also what you're working on.
So Chelsea Clinton wants the powers that be to do a better job of explaining the science. And you remember the science that said you had to stand 6 feet apart from each other? There was no science behind that. You remember the science that said that you had to wear a mask even when you drove in your car by yourself, or you walked along an empty beach completely by yourself? I think we all remember seeing those horrific videos of people who, by themselves on the beach, were tackled by the police, and they were arrested for not putting a mask on. And this is some of the damage that science did in the name of science. So in 2023, we find ourselves being highly distrustful of scientific procedures and medicine and vaccines. And people know that they're being lied to. They don't know the extent to which that those lies go. But at this point, everybody understands that the people who tell you to follow the science are not scientific at all, and they're just making it up as they go along. And the question that you have to ask yourself is, why are they making it up? It is obvious that they don't know what they're talking about. It is obvious that the narration has changed multiple times. I just a couple of minutes ago, I played that clip from Bill Gates, and he's like, yeah, COVID's not so bad. Mostly elderly people, kind of like the flu. Is that what he said in 2020 and in 2021 and 2022? No. He said just the opposite. And, he used science as his validation and justification.
Kind of in the broader conversation, not be uncomfortable with the discomfort of uncertainty. And so I do think we need really good ideas for how best to do that, because we all deserve to hopefully not be as unprepared as I worry we are at the moment. And the last thing I'll say is a new effort that we're a part of is the new initiative launched by the World Health Organization last week to try to catch kids up on their routine immunizations. In 2021 alone, more than 25 million kids under the age of one missed at least one routine immunization. And so we're working with WHO and the Gates Foundation and others to hopefully have the largest kind of childhood immunization effort ever over the next 18 months to catch as many kids up as possible, because no one should die of polio or measles or pneumonia, including in this country where we also need people to be vaccinating their kids.
Absolutely.
So there you have the anointed spokesperson, Chelsea Clinton, and she is the one who is carrying the family brand in 2023. Bill is silent because of his connection to Jeffrey Epstein. Hillary is, well, she's not silent, but you really don't hear much from her anymore. I mean, she tweets a little bit, and every once in a while she will go to speak at a college, but you really don't see her on television. You really don't see her much in the news. And but somebody has to keep the money coming in, and somebody has to be carrying the family brand. So what they're doing with this big catch-up initiative is they are bundling all these vaccines together, and in the middle of this bundle, you're going to have the COVID-19 vaccine. And what are they going to wind up doing? They are going to forcibly inject millions and millions and millions of children in America and around the world with the COVID-19 vaccine. There is, and we have said this multiple times, and we've been saying it for many, many years now, that there is absolutely a reason why they need to have this particular chemical cocktail, what they call the COVID-19 vaccine. There is a reason why they need to inject every single person on the face of the earth. Maybe you're thinking about voting for Donald Trump. Donald Trump says he's the father of the COVID vaccine.
I would have put a warning on or something on just that particular vaccine, but I certainly would have deposed it and gotten front page news all over the world, and then people don't want it, and it probably even affects the others, because, you know, there's a big situation with a lot of people don't want to take the vaccine. Well, this played right into their hands, and they want me to do public service messages and everything about everybody taking the vaccine. And look, I guess in a certain way, I'm the father of the vaccine, because I was the one that pushed it. You know, to get it done in less than 9 months was a miracle. Fauci said it would take 3 to 5 years. He thought it was something that just wouldn't be that effective because it would take so long to get. I pushed the FDA like they have never been pushed before. I wouldn't exactly say they're in love with me. They have never, this is a very bureaucratic organization. I push them like they've never been pushed before, and that's why we have it. When they did the pause on Johnson & Johnson, I thought that was a very, very stupid thing to do.
Would you recommend to our audience that they get the vaccine then?
I would. I would recommend it, and I would recommend it to a lot of people that don't want to get it, and a lot of those people voted for me, frankly.
So there you have Donald Trump. He is leading Joe Biden in a poll taken by ABC News over the weekend, and he is 7 points up over sitting President Joe Biden. And Donald Trump, he is the presumptive Republican nominee, and he looks like he will absolutely be running again for president in 2024. And I don't know, what do you do with the fact that you want Donald Trump to come back into the White House, but you think that the vaccine is an evil poison that has been forced on the global population, and then the man that you're voting for is the person who calls himself basically the one responsible for bringing that poison into existence? And, you know, I've been looking for some sort of a thread or something on Twitter where somebody is going to make sense of the dissonance of holding those two thoughts in your head at the same time. Everybody says, bring back Trump. But then the same people, the vast majority of those people, think, and rightly so, that the COVID-19 vaccine is poison. So how are you going to vote for the person who calls himself the father of the COVID-19 vaccine? To me, that is a real tricky state of mind to kind of wrap your brain around. But that's what Donald Trump says that he is. He says that he is the father of the COVID-19 vaccine. Take a listen to this clip. The lies that we were told about the COVID-19 vaccine during the pandemic.
Over a 20-to-1 return.
If you had put that money into an S&P 500 and reinvested the dividends, you'd come up with something like $17 billion, but you think it's $200 billion.
Here, yeah.
You're okay. You're not going to get COVID if you have these vaccinations.
These vaccines
are highly, highly effective.
Vaccinated people do not carry the virus, don't get sick.
They're really, really good against variants.
Everyone who takes the vaccine is not just protecting themselves, but reducing their transmission to other people and allowing society to get back to normal.
Get your first shot, and when you're due for your second, get your second shot.
Our key goal is to stop the transmission, to get the immunity levels up so that you get almost no infection going on whatsoever.
When people are vaccinated, they can feel safe that they are not going to get infected.
If you're vaccinated, you're not going to be hospitalized, you're not going to be in an ICU unit, and you're not going to die.
If you are fully vaccinated, you no longer need to wear a mask.
Anyone who is fully vaccinated can participate in indoor and outdoor activities, large or small, without wearing a mask or physical distancing.
But what they can't do anymore is prevent transmission.
You know, we didn't have vaccines that block transmission. We got vaccines that help you with your health, but they only slightly reduce the transmission. We need a new way of doing the vaccine.
The level of virus in the nasopharynx of a person who's vaccinated and infected is the same level as the level of virus in the nasopharynx of an unvaccinated person.
Reports from our international colleagues, including Israel, suggest increased risk of severe disease amongst those vaccinated early.
And if you look at Israel, which has always been a month to a month and a half ahead of us, they are seeing a waning of immunity, not only against infection, but against hospitalizations and to some extent death. A booster might actually be an essential part of the primary regimen that people should have.
Plan is for every adult to get a booster shot.
Clearly one of the best investments I've ever been involved in.
So there's a really interesting and mildly amusing clip that shows you the progression of what we were told about the COVID-19 vaccine. We were told that if you got the vaccine, you would not spread COVID to somebody else. That was completely not true. They told us that if you got the COVID-19 vaccine, you wouldn't get sick with COVID. That was completely not true. And then they said, well, if you did get vaccinated and you got sick with COVID, you wouldn't get sick badly. That was not true. And then they said, if you did get sick badly, you would not go to the hospital and die. And that was not true. And that is what we have seen, what we call the progression of the vaccine over the last 2.5 years. And everything that they have told us about that vaccine, everything, has turned out to be not true. And so it doesn't make the headlines much anymore, but they have not stopped their plan to want to inject each and every human being on the face of this earth with the COVID-19 vaccine. Now, the other day I was getting my car washed in St. Augustine, and as I was drying it, I was looking up into the sky, and I was watching the chemtrails being sprayed. And if you've ever spent a lot of time looking at airplanes, jet airplanes flying overhead, then you know the difference between a condensation trail that comes off the back of a jet and a chemical trail that comes off the back of a jet. And the condensation trail, they call it a contrail, it only lasts for, I don't know, 10 seconds, 15 seconds, and then it's gone. But the chemtrail that comes off the back of a jet that is spraying some sort of chemical into the sky, that does not dissipate. It takes about 45 minutes for that trail to dissipate, and it grows thicker and wider, and until it looks like clouds up in the sky. But it's not clouds. It's not clouds. So what I'm wondering is, whatever in those COVID-19 vaccines, is it somehow connected with what they've been spraying over our heads in the sky? Take a listen to this clip. They said the COVID vaccine wouldn't do this to me.
I got the vaccine because I'm vulnerable and my doctor told me to.
I got the vaccine to do the right thing.
I got the vaccine to make sure that my dad wouldn't get sick.
I got the COVID vaccine because my husband kept getting exposed to COVID at work.
I got the vaccine to protect my health.
I got the vaccine to protect my friends, my family, and my patients.
I received the vaccine to help protect my patients.
I got the vaccine to be able to travel.
I got the vaccine to protect my dad and my husband.
I got my vaccine because I wanted to help protect people and I wanted life to go back to normal.
And now I'm injured. And then after I was sick, I was told I don't know what to do by doctors.
My physician told me the vaccine couldn't do this to me and that I was healthy.
My doctor said the second jab could kill me, but he later tried to blame something else.
My doctor said that my symptoms could not have come from the vaccine.
My doctor doesn't know what to do.
My doctor said it's kind of like we're all guinea pigs because this is all so new. We don't really know how to deal with these reactions that we're seeing.
I've been told not to share my story because it scares people.
I have been told that I should have known better than to get the vaccine, or I told you not to get the vaccine.
My friends tell me I got mine and I'm just fine.
I've had many people tell me that my injury is not from the vaccine.
My family told me that I was just stressed and anxious.
I've had a friend tell me, well, I guess you're just one of the unlucky ones because I was fine.
Someone close to me told me that I should be silent for the greater good.
I have been bullied. I've had death threats. I've been made fun of.
I have been injured now for 10 months.
5 months.
For 6 months.
11 months.
11 months.
For 11 months.
11 months.
12 months.
13 months.
Nearly 4 months now.
For 7 months.
For 12 months.
13 months.
I've now been injured for 13 months.
No one knows how to help us.
No one wants to believe it.
And at this point, we all know somebody who's been injured by the vaccine. I certainly do. And I know that the vast majority of the people in the chat room every time that we broadcast, most of those people, most of you guys know somebody that's been injured by the vaccine. And yet, if we say these things online, if we post these things to social media, we're going to be ostracized and suspended and banned, and they take down your channel and they do all sorts of things so you cannot spread the truth about what's going on. So, Chelsea Clinton, she's carrying on the family brand, the Clinton dirty family brand, and she is spearheading this big catch-up drive, this global drive to vaccinate every child on the face of the earth with a COVID-19 vaccine. Shannon's asking, so this broadcast will not be posted to YouTube. No, it won't. If I post this to YouTube, I will be suspended within 3 hours, maybe even less. I have gotten so many suspensions on YouTube. It is a miracle that my channel is even still up there. So, no, we will not be reposting this to YouTube, but it's every place else that we can put it. It's on Spotify, it's on Apple, it's on NowTheEndBegins.com. So we put it everywhere that we possibly can do it. All right, let's switch gears for a moment. In just a couple of days, something called Title 42 is going to expire. And they are bracing on the southern border of the United States right now. They are anticipating hundreds of thousands of illegal aliens charging at the border. Some people call it a Democrat voter registration drive, which I think is a pretty good way to look at it. But in just a couple of days, Title 42, which was put in place by Donald Trump, It is set to expire. And Texas is about to get overwhelmed with hundreds of thousands of illegal
tonight,
aliens.
The crisis
Take
at the southern border is expected to only get worse in the weeks ahead as the pandemic-era restrictions known as Title 42 expire on May 11th. CBS's Omar Villafranca reports the border town of El Paso just declared a state of emergency in anticipation of a humanitarian crisis.
Each day, hundreds of migrants can be seen camping outside Sacred Heart Church in El Paso, Texas, huddled under blankets and sleeping on makeshift beds. Like 22-year-old Williamani Andrade and her two daughters, who are 1 and 3 years old. The Venezuelans are among the nearly 1,400 migrants who cross into El Paso every day.
She's looking for work, and she just wants a better future for her daughters.
Title 42, the COVID-era policy that allows the government to expel migrants, will expire next week. El Paso's mayor has already declared a state of emergency. Father Rafael Garcia runs the Sacred Heart Shelter.
And we're focusing on women and children mainly. The need is overwhelming.
When Title 42 expires, Customs and Border Patrol officials say as many as 10,000 migrants a day could cross the southern border, nearly doubling the daily average in March. For the first time, the Biden administration says Mexico will accept some non-Mexican migrants who were expelled from the U.S. after entering the country illegally. Buses carrying migrants from Texas arrived in New York City today, part of a controversial policy by Republican Texas Governor Greg Abbott to transport migrants to Democrat-run cities.
We don't want children, families sleeping in the street. We want to be able to take care of people. But the federal government is the one that has the resources to be able to do this.
City officials are welcoming the 1,500 troops that the Pentagon is sending down to the border next week. And leaders here say that will free up Border Patrol agents to deal with the expected migrant surge. Nora?
Omar Villafranca, thank you.
So there you have the Texas border. And 1,500 military troops have been sent down there in an effort to deal with what they expect to be up to 10,000 illegal immigrants on a daily basis. And that is a situation that is bad. It's only getting worse, and it's going to get absolutely out of control over the next couple of weeks. And it would lead me to believe that that's exactly what they want to see have happen. Take a listen to this from Chief Raul Ortiz from the Biden administration. This guy is the he is the chief of the U.S. Border Patrol. And this is what Chief Raul Ortiz said happened in the last 72 hours on the Texas border. In the past 72 hours, there has been 26,382 apprehensions. There has been 7,399 people who got away. They have seized 164 pounds of marijuana, 83 pounds of methamphetamines, 66 pounds of cocaine, 11 pounds of fentanyl, 5 pounds of heroin, $12,200, one firearm, three sex offenders, one wanted felon, and one gang member. That is from Chief Raul Ortiz of the U.S. Border Patrol. And that's what's taking place every 72 hours on the Texas border. And you can only imagine what that's going to be like once Title 42 is lifted. It is going to flood. They are estimating right now that this summer, over 700,000 illegal immigrants, the vast majority of them being adult males who are of age for military service. It's not a lot of women, and it's not a lot of children. The vast majority of people coming across that border are adult males. And it's a really, really bad situation. All right, we have to take a quick break, and we'll be right back after...
Yeah.
The Bible says this in Revelation chapter 21. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And we read passages like that, and we get excited, and we can't wait. But in the meantime, we're down here on planet Earth, and things are absolutely getting crazy, and things are getting out of control. And one of the things that you see everywhere now, absolutely everywhere, you see genetically modified food. So let's talk for a moment about genetically modified food. And this is something that they have been pushing for years and years, and now technology has gotten to the point where they can do it with CRISPR technology, and I'm going to show you what they're doing there. But on the back of most food products that you can buy, you will see on the back, on the label, usually above the barcode, it will say partially or completely produced with genetic engineering. And that's where the big push is happening right now. Fake men, fake women, fake gender controversies, fake food, everything is artificial, artificial intelligence.
The secrets to protecting the nation's hog herd may lie in their genes. Randy Prather from University of Missouri Animal Sciences explains how he developed the first genetically engineered pigs for researching animal-related diseases.
If we can change the pig's genome, the pig has a 3 billion letter genome. If we can change a few letters of that genome, we can make pigs resistant to diseases like porcine reproductive and respiratory syndrome virus, transmissible gastroenteritis virus, Seneca Valley virus, just by changing a few letters of the genome. And have a huge impact. PRRS, for example, cost producers in North America, and this is decade-old information, estimated in North America to be $660 million a year. We have a solution for this disease. To genetically engineer the pigs so they're resistant to PRRS, it's really a pretty straightforward process. We can go in and do something called zygote injection. We get a freshly fertilized embryo, we inject some editing reagents, and it edits that 3 billion letter genome. And it can change just a couple letters, and that will make it so that the pig doesn't get sick. It doesn't see the virus. So there's a molecule that basically sticks up on the cell surface that the virus recognizes to infect the cell. By changing a couple letters of the genome, you can get rid of that molecule. And now the virus has no way to get in. There's lots of variations for genetic engineering, and I use the broad term because it can be as simple as changing a couple letters of the genome, a 3 billion letter genome. It can be as elaborate as going to another species and getting their gene and putting it in the pig. So, for example, we've taken a gene from C. elegans, which is a little roundworm, and the gene encodes a fatty acid desaturase. We put it into pigs. The pigs make their own omega-3 fatty acids. So we can kind of cut and paste, and so that's a little bit more elaborate type of genetic modification. The very simple one is to just change a couple letters, and in the case of PRRS, get rid of CD163, and the pigs don't get sick. We've done the same thing with another protein called aminopeptidase N, another molecule that sticks up on the cell surface. In this case, transmissible gastroenteritis recognizes that molecule. You get rid of it, the pigs don't get sick.
So we're living in a day and age where you can't believe your eyes, you can't believe your ears, you can't believe that the food is safe to eat. They are altering it. They are modifying it. Everything is changing. We are in a state of flux. You might say everything is all fluxed up, and it is. It absolutely is. And there's a reason for that. And let me tell you what that reason is going to be. The Bible says this. The Bible says that in the end times, during the time of Jacob's trouble, turn to Luke chapter 17. Luke chapter 17, verse 28. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. On the Gateway Pundit today, headline, New York City Catholic Church hosts shocking God is Trans exhibit. Now, if you live in New York City and you were to wander into the Manhattan Church of St. Paul the Apostle, you would see an art exhibit entitled God is Trans, a Queer Spiritual Journey. The wildly offensive series of paintings have been placed next to the church's altar. The artist described the exhibit as a, quote, queer spiritual journey in three steps, sacrifice, identity, and communion. The Post reports that according to the exhibit, sacrifice represents the need to shed an old life. What does holiness look like? Well, take a listen to this and you tell me.
What if God created transgender people? It says male and female, not male or female. God also has feminine attributes.
Thank you. Very, very thoughtful question. Well, God has created everyone, so we can, whether whoever anyone is or however they identify, they are created by God, which immediately tells us they are of inestimable worth. They are to be honored. They are worthy of our care and service. They will most likely, whoever they are, have a story worth listening to.
Now, I'm just going to stop this guy just for a moment. His name is Sam Alberry. And he was just asked a question, did God create transgender people? Now, I want you to make a note of what we're talking about here. Because I've said this before and I'll say it again. This is the question of our day that must be answered. And if you're a Bible-believing Christian, you need to know what the answer to this question is. Did God create transgender people? Now, if the answer to that question is yes, then transgender people and their lifestyle and what they do is every bit as valid as your lifestyle and my lifestyle. If God created transgender people, then they do need to be honored and revered and respected, just like we would honor and revere and respect any other form of human life. But the question is, did God create transgender people? Before you answer that, did God create pedophiles? Did God create rapists? Did God create murderers? Are we all God's children? Well, that's the question we're going to take a shot at answering.
There is someone worth getting to know. There will be someone who is amazing if they are created in the image of an amazing God. However, what none of us can do is simply read off from our own intuitions and feelings how we believe God has created us to be. One of the painful things that Jesus says to all of us is that how we have been born is not quite right. We've all been born a bit wrong. Which means that things that feel very, very innate to us, and have done maybe since we were born, may not be right and may not be true. They may not be a reflection of who God has made us to be. So Jesus says that when he says to a man called Nicodemus in John chapter 3, you must be born again. Now, we're so familiar with the language of being born again, it's kind of become part of kind of standard Christian speak, that we forget just how extraordinarily offensive that phrase is. Because Jesus isn't saying, add a bit of religion and spirituality to life as though it's a bit of seasoning. When Jesus says you must be born again, he's saying, you didn't come out right the first time. And you don't need to try a bit better. You need to be made new.
And so we'll stop that guy right there. I agree with what he's saying. Every single human being on the face of this earth has not been created in the image of God. Because if we had been created in the image of God, there would be no need to be born again. Genesis chapter 5, verses 1 through 3. Genesis 5, verses 1 through 3. This is the book of the generations of Adam. In the day that God created man, in the likeness of God made he him. Male and female created he them and blessed them and called their name Adam in the day when they were created. Talking about one man and one woman. And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his own image and called his name Seth. So, when you were born and when I was born, we were not born in the image of God. We were born in the image of Adam, and we were born in the image of Eve after they fell, after they turned from God, after they were kicked out of the garden. That's the image that you and I were born into. And this is why. Turn to John chapter 3. Turn to John chapter 3. This is why the Bible says this. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. And you need to have a spiritual rebirth. God did not create transgenders. That is a product of the fall of man. Gay, lesbian, transgender, transsexual, two-spirit, questioning, queer, all those different things, minor attracted persons, pedophiles, all those things that are part of the six-color rainbow umbrella, they are all things that are the product of the fall of man. Turn to Job chapter 40. Turn to the book of Job, chapter 40. And the Bible talks about the pride movement. This didn't catch God by surprise. Job, chapter 40, talking about... Job 41. Job 41, talking about Leviathan. And Leviathan is the type of the devil. He's a type of Antichrist. Job 41:31. He maketh the deep to boil like a pot. He maketh the sea like a pot of ointment. He maketh a path to shine after him. One would think the deep to be hoary. Upon earth there is not his like who is made without fear. He beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. Now, I said at the start of this segment that the number one question that you are going to have to answer for yourself in 2023, you are going to have to decide if you believe the Bible or you are going to go and follow the culture. And sadly, there are many, many churches all across America, large, powerful, wealthy, influential churches and church leaders who are turning their churches and their pulpits into LGBTQ affirming churches. I'm talking about people like Andy Stanley.
People as excited about serving and engaging as the gay men and women I know, we would have a volunteer backlog. That's my experience in our churches. Well, I'm a gay person. I'll just read it to you. A gay person, when I say gay men and women, okay, a gay person who still wants to attend church after the way the church has treated the gay community, I'm telling you, they have more faith than I do. They have more faith than a lot of you. A gay person who knows, you know what, I might not be accepted here, but I'm going to try it anyway. Have you ever done that as a straight person? Where do you go that you're not sure you're going to be accepted and you go over and over and over and over? Only your in-laws' house. That's the only place you go where you know you're not completely accepted, but you go over and over and over, and it's because you have to. But other than the in-laws, what environment do you continue to step foot in knowing at any moment you may feel ostracized? No place. I'm telling you, the gay men and women who grew up in church and the gay men and women who come to faith in Christ as adults who want to participate in our church, oh my goodness. I know 1 Corinthians 6 and I know Leviticus and I know Romans 1. It's so interesting to talk about all that stuff. But just, oh my goodness, a gay man or woman who wants to worship their heavenly Father, who did not answer the cry of their heart when they were 12 and 13 and 14 and 15. God said no, and they still love God. We have some things to learn from a group of men and women who love Jesus that much and who want to worship with us. And I know the verses. I know the clobber passages, right? We got to figure this out. And you know what? I think you are.
So that's Andy Stanley. That's Andy Stanley. And he says that we have to figure this whole thing out. And Andy Stanley has already made up his mind. And dozens of other pastors all across America have already made up their minds. And what you are starting to see is you are starting to see LGBTQ plus churches that are mainstream churches. Now, the Bible clearly teaches that we were not made in the image of God. Because if we were, there would be no need to be born again. But the whole reason why we have to become born again, and not just simply born from above, that's what the Catholic Bibles say. You need to be born again. And your first birth, you are in your original father is Adam. And your original mother is Eve. And that is the birth that we all were birthed into. No exceptions, including the Virgin Mary. Mary had to become born again. Now, if you tell that to a Roman Catholic, they get crazy upset. But you know what the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verses 46 through 48. Luke chapter 1, 46 through 48, showing you that the Virgin Mary had to become born again as well. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior. For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." And she absolutely was blessed of the Lord. And then she went on to have six more children. She had seven children altogether. And you can read Mark chapter 6, verse 3, if you want to find out the identity of those other six children as well. But this is the question of our day. What are you going to do with... Now, Benjamin says, I am so sick about hearing about gay and transgendered people. Everywhere I go, even here, it is shoved down my throat to have to hear about this sickness. Too much focus in the wrong direction. And he said, I would rather hear about Jesus Christ and the Bible. Then I invite you to tune into our Wednesday night Bible study, our Sunday service. We talk about Jesus all the time. But look, you can't be like one of those 16th century monks and go up into a mountain and hide in a monastery. That is not what Christians are called to do. And you are going to have an answer to this question. And at some point, it's going to affect your job. It's going to affect your employment. What are you going to do? What are you going to do when the company that you work for says that you have to sign a declaration that you are LGBTQ plus affirming, or you lose your job? And if you don't think that day is coming, that day is right around the corner. That day is absolutely coming. There is no question about it. So we talk about these things. We talk about these things because you need to be prepared. You need to understand a little bit about the end times that you find yourself in. Turn to Matthew 24. Turn to Matthew chapter 24. Look at this question. Look at this question that his disciples asked him. Matthew 24, verse 3. And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, Tell us, when shall these things be, and what shall be the sign of thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus answered and said unto them, Take heed that no man deceive you. So the very, very first sign of the end times, the very first sign of the end times is worldwide deception. And after the rapture, God's going to release something that the Apostle Paul calls the strong delusion. And there's going to be no getting away from it. So yes, we talk about these things. We don't dwell on these things, but they are rising higher and faster than you can possibly imagine. And you're going to have an answer for this, because soon there is no escape from any of this. And why do I say that? Because the Bible says that the end times is going to be like the days of Noah. That's why you suddenly see all this talk about UFOs and aliens and spaceships. Jesus says in Luke, it's going to be like the days of Noah, and it's going to be like the days of Lot. Where did Lot live? He lived in Sodom. Where was Sodom? It was next to Gomorrah. What did God do to Sodom and Gomorrah? He wiped them out. So, if we were as close to the end times as we think we are, what would we see in the news? UFOs, aliens, giants, unexplainable things, unexplainable flying objects. And you would see a disproportionate focus on things having to do with the LGBTQ. And in 2023, that is exactly what the daily headlines are made up of. All day, every day. And there is absolutely no getting away from it. Before we wrap up the program today, we didn't do our prayer time. Let's go into our prayer time now. There's a lot to pray for. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this day and for these people that you've gathered here. We thank you for a nice full chat room. And Lord, we just come before you. And Rachel's dad, Ralph, needs to get saved. There's unsaved Catholic family members of the Bolton family. Alexandra Bohan says, please pray for my husband, Colby. Dina Kruger says, please pray for my son, Jordan. David Peck needs to get saved. Members of the Weers-Bickey family, they need to get saved. Kentucky Jeffrey is praying for Tyler Tevin, daughter-in-law Caitlin, and grandsons Logan, Ronnie, and Russell. Jeanette and Bob from Wisconsin have unsaved Catholic family members. Connie has three unsaved kids. Brandy asking prayer for her family salvation. We have people who need a healing today. Annetta, she had a stroke about a year ago, and we're praying for a complete healing so she can walk again. Robert Wiley is battling ALS disease, and he needs our prayer. Linda Watley, she struggles. She's saved, but she struggles with body pain. Rob Beatty is dealing with stage 4 colon cancer. Clayton Perry is going through the side effects of chemotherapy. Aaron Riddle's sister, Tracy, has metastatic breast cancer. Shira Shine, she has a mass in her lungs, and she says, please pray for me and my three children, Nicole, Sherry, and Scott. Maddie Luck has been diagnosed with Lewy body dementia. Jill Puckett is losing her vision. Joel Smith needs to get saved. Linda is praying for Hannah's mom, who got very sick after getting the COVID vaccine. And she has blood clots throughout her body. Natalie and Ken, they both need prayer for health issues. Patricia Alliston's husband, Ron, he has cancer. Sharon Hansen, she has been put in hospice for dementia. Gary says, my friend Carrick from Pennsylvania has been recently diagnosed with MS. Jeanette is asking prayer for her mother with a lump in her breast. Dina Kruger says, please pray for Katrina, who has brain lesions. Patty Rogalski is asking for prayer for her and her husband, Jerry, for health issues. Patty is having hip replacement surgery on May 10th. That's in 2 days. Gail Comfort, who works in the bookstore, she's having hip replacement surgery on June 13th. My friend Ethan, he is having hip replacement surgery, and Mike Hensel is having knee replacement surgery. Cindy Kettlecamp says that our prayers for her daughter Brooke have resulted in a improvement in her condition, so please keep praying for Brooke Kettlecamp. Angel says, my mother Rosemary was saved in March after my 20 days of witnessing and praying with her. But she had a severe stroke after taking the COVID vaccine. She is now in a hospice recovery center. So please pray for Rosemary. My friend Krista is battling a massive tumor in her chest that is wrapped around 5 of her ribs. Please pray for my friend Krista Ray. Dan Kane says, my wife Roxy has MS, and please pray for my son Jonathan. Patrick says, can you please pray for my son Daniel? He's a member of the Coast Guard, and he was forced to take the vaccine, and he's having chest pains. Lori P., LS poet in the chat room, is asking prayer for healing from an ongoing infection. Sharon DeGanius, she is able to sit up now, and she is getting better, and she is very grateful for all the prayers, so please keep praying for Sharon DeGanius. Jennifer from Idaho needs healing from chronic neck and back pain. Carolyn from Minnesota says, please pray for my mom, Joy Piper. And she really hurt her back, and Joy said earlier that she's doing better and very grateful for the prayers. Rick Olson has a bad cold with a fever, and we're praying for his healing and recovery. Jill Hall, please pray for my two nephews, little ones, who have been diagnosed with autoimmune diseases. Julie Baird says, please put my grandmother, Wilma, on your prayer list for a stroke, and my son's dad, who wrecked his bike and cracked his head. Paul Caulfield, he needs prayer for his type 1 sugar diabetes. And he has had a difficult time with ups and downs with his health. And Peggy Caulfield says, my mom, Dorcas Foreman, is having a 6 to 8 hour surgery on May 17th. They are removing a 20-pound hernia from her stomach. So please pray for Dorcas Foreman. Ladies who are expecting, Elena Blackburn, Kelsey Emerson, Aaron Riddle, Gary Tatterson's daughter Kayla, Linda and Joe LaPiana's son and daughter-in-law, April's niece Shelby, Terry Bryant's daughter Jillian, and Heather's daughter is pregnant and unsaved. So please pray for these eight women and their babies and their deliveries, that God would just touch every aspect of all that. Mark Saxa, please pray for my son Joseph to return to the Lord. And please pray for my son Calvin. Aunt Nancy says, please pray for Brandon and Michelle to get saved. Leslie needs the Lord to fix an urgent financial situation. Palmetto State guy is grateful that we continue to pray for his mother Eunice and his father Paul, who have health issues. Diane says, please pray for my two grandchildren, Connor and Victoria, and they are sucked into the transgender movement. You know, this is why we talk about it a lot, because it's affecting a lot of people's lives. Rebecca D., please pray for my daughter Tamaya, Leah, and for myself. Ramona Hayes, please pray for my daughter Kimberly Blair, who's an alcoholic, as well as my grandchildren, William Potter, Jason Taylor, David Taylor, and Amanda Odell, and their families to get saved. Joni is praying for Ashley, Clint, Ember, Knox, Lucas, Brian, Mary, and Dee to get saved. Kevin Thompson wants his dad, Tim Thompson, to get saved. Daphne, I need prayer for a close friend's daughter and grandbaby who was born premature. Rachel has been witnessing to her old friend Jennifer, and please pray that God will use Rachel to lead her friend Jennifer to get saved. Sadie asking for a prayer that her path to be able to come to the camp meeting would be worked out. Jill Hall, please pray for Carly to get saved, a young mom, mother of three boys. I gave her a Bible and told her that Jesus loves her. Amen. People with an unspoken prayer request today. The LaPiana family, Jeanette, Marie C., Adrian P. Breda, Chris Hart, Kate, John Bayor, Haley and Dan, Dr. Shirley, Lori, and myself, and Jericho. All have unspoken prayer requests. Kimmy D. says, praise report, my brother Michael is home from rehab. 122 staples removed from amputation, and he is home. Keep in mind that this is his second leg amputation from blood clots, but the doctors are sure that it has nothing to do with the two rounds of Pfizer vaccine that he took. You see what I mean? Everybody has a story like that now. So please pray for Michael. Veronica Higginbotham, David got baptized today. Amen. Jeff says, I need prayer. After two knee replacement surgeries, I have been diagnosed with anemia, and I am very weak. Cher says, please pray for all the people in Alberta, Canada, who have been evacuated from all the wildlife's happening. And Jeanette says, please pray for the Uganda flooding and the many people that have been misplaced there. Also, pray for Trisha as she continues to get stem cell therapy for her hip, that God would give her a healing as well. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all these that we've gathered here today, that you've gathered here today. Lord, these end times, it gets worse every day. And a lot of the times, I don't even like talking about some of these things. But this is the state of our world. This is where we are. And God, we just pray that you would continue to give us clarity from the Bible, and lead us in the way that we are to walk. And Lord, let us never get off that foundation of your preserved word in the King James Bible. And we pray for all of these people today, Lord, who have health issues and they're battling cancer and blood clots and COVID and multiple sclerosis and Lewy body dementia and all these different things. And Lord, we don't look to science. We don't look to doctors. We look to you to solve these problems. And Father God, just lead us and guide us. And give us strength and power that we need today, and we'll give you all the honor and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, thank you, everybody, for tuning in, and thank you for being part of the NTEB Global Family of Bible Believers across America and around the world. Lord willing, we will see you back here Wednesday, 7 p.m. Eastern Time, for another Rightly Dividing King James Bible Study. Have a great week, everybody.
Upon his face, it shines like the sun.